Do you notice how something has happened to the light? It curves just slightly towards a rumour in the east. And in the air, it flows southeast like a whisper of angels gathering. And words, somehow filled with promise, rearrange themselves on the cusp of a new headline. Do you notice the music evoking dance steps for stars yet to be born? And we can imagine these are linked, sharing the anticipation of what the world has not yet heard. An Advent affair, moving in the dark, beneath ancient layers of faith, rekindling, labouring, quickening with a new heartbeat, God's greatest conspiracy, birth. Well, good morning, everyone. It's lovely to see you all here. There's a very frosty morning. I had to scrape my car this morning. It was a bit unexpected. I was slightly later leaving the house than I normally am. I took one look at my car and thought, I'm going to be here another few minutes. We all made it here. We're all here safely, so it's lovely to see you all. The order of service has the intimations that you need for the coming week. The print's a bit bigger than last week, so that means there's less of them. So it won't take you quite as long to read this week. I'll leave you to read them there for yourself. The one wee intimation that's not there, and I'm just going to put a bit of paper down somewhere. The choir have been busy over the last couple of weeks doing lots of carolling. And yesterday they were back out at drum, at the mains of drum, entertaining everybody there. And Neil and I went along, and I have to say, it was just, the choir were sounding just beautiful. It really, really was great, and there was lots of people watching and smiling and being really cheered by the singing coming. But not only have they been entertaining and keeping people cheerful, they've actually raised a reasonable sum of money for Christian Aid through their efforts. And between last week and yesterday and during the week when they were at Kirk Manor, they've raised £519.46 for Christian Aid. So I think they deserve a wee round of applause for that. And that, as we know, will be well used by Christian Aid to do some just phenomenal work in our name across the world in some of the most vulnerable of places. So thank you again, choir, for your efforts. It was just heart, my heart just soared when I walked in yesterday and heard the singing. It was just great. We are here this morning to worship. Ever closer we come to the stable. Dare we reimagine the world? Dare we speak of hope in the silence? Dare we pour colour into the shadows? Dare we gather in such promise on the cusp of incarnation? Let us worship the one who brings us here and whose word is the poetry of hope. Our hymn is 286, Tell Out My Soul.
Thank you.
In prayer, held in the moments around us, between the waiting and the words, may we touch the expectation of something moving, changing, quickening, something that holds the light wrapped in a promise that speaks into our age, our season, our time, a hope that will move the darkness between us all. In such a moment as this, O God, may we dare believe beyond this moment, dare believe that all we have taken for granted can change within us and open our eyes to new visions and speak new words into what is moribund and believe new hope into well-worn patterns of habit that beneath the surface of this moment, held in a promise, a new world can be spoken of where deserts bloom and the blind see and the lame walk. In such poetic faith and daring belief, this is our adoration, that we live a new way that lays down the past habits and picks up new patterns, new vision to reshape our words and our living. May this moment become the sacred moment between the waiting and the words that dares us to pause and say, we are readying, we are preparing, we are waiting for incarnation. Amen.
Well, it's lovely to see so many of the boys and girls with us this morning. And I've got another story for you. So would you like to come and have a wee seat beside me? Because this book has got some pictures that you might like to see. And I've got some... Oh, put these behind me here. Don't let me forget those. Right, okay, hello. Lots of you today. Right, this is a wee story called A Countdown to Christmas. And have lots of us been counting down to Christmas? Have you been doing that with your advent calendars and... And bits and pieces.
Us, we have two calendars.
Hmm?
Us, we have two calendars.
You have two calendars? Have you got two calendars? So lots of advent calendars. Well, I've got one and it sits in my fridge and it's got cheese in it. Does that sound like a good advent calendar?
No.
No? Well, see, when you're grown up like me, it sounds like a very good calendar. Yeah, and I really appreciated Emily's gift to me. She bought it for me, and I've really enjoyed it. Anyway, we're going to read this little story, and it's called A Countdown to Christmas, because we're still counting down. We've not got very long to go, though, have we? No. Okay, we are counting down to Christmas, it says here, cheered a very jolly bear. He called a meeting in the woods, and everyone was there. Can you see? Come gather round, called Bear, be quick. His voice boomed deep and loud. Mouse grabbed her scarf and mittens and she ran to join the crowd. You can't see this, but we've got a lovely picture here with lots of animals, haven't we? A big, big bear here, and he's got a big sack and lots of other animals gathering round. Wow, let's see what happens in this story. I've made a Christmas game, said Bear. It ends with a surprise. I'll call a name out every day to go and find a prize. Me first, begged Mouse, so please choose me. No, me, cried everyone. But Bear smiled at young Hedgehog and said, you're number one. Where's the hedgehog? Is that the hedgehog there, do you think?
Yes.
Oh, the little hedgehog's up there with the number one. Oh, right, you're more observant than me. We've got all sorts of animals. What have we got here?
A bat.
A bat and a...
A porcupine.
A porcupine, is that what that is? And then that's a skunk. I know. Anyway, when Hedgehog found her special prize, she rolled head over heels. Oh, look, a toy, she squeaked with joy. A lovely cow on wheels. Look, she got her cow on wheels down there. But today, next day, Toad got number two and found a pair of ears. Mouse laughed, you're like a donkey now. Toad huffed and muttered, cheers. Raccoon had number three and cried, "I got a candy cane." And when Frog and Chipmunk found the same, they cheered, "Yay, sweets again." But Badger grumbled, "Huh, what's this?" Confused fusion in his eyes. Mouse smiled and squeaked, "A tea towel. Oh, that's a useful prize." Well, there's Badger with his tea towel. We're up to number six now. Okay. Then Squirrel found a pair of wings and Weasel got the same. "But I've got wings as well," sneered Bat. "Bah, this is just a silly game." Some creature started moaning then. "These prizes aren't that great." "But Bear has a surprise for us," squeaked Mouse. "We need to wait." The next day there were paper chains, then baubles and some lights. Mouse jumped with joy, "They'll brighten up these long, dark winter nights." You see the bat hanging upside down? Santa hat's still staying on, though, isn't it? How does that work? Anyway, where are we? But then the 13th day arrived and Beaver got some straw. "That's not a prize," she sniffed, and then she threw it on the floor. She's not very grateful, is she?
It's not even a prize.
You not think it's a prize? Well, I think you need to wait. Just wait, okay? Mouse called, "There'll be a reason, please. We must believe in Bear." But Beaver simply stomped away and muttered, "It's not fair." Then in the morning, Mouse woke up and coughed and sneezed. "Achoo! Oh no, I'll have to stay in bed. I think I've caught the flu." She didn't see Mole find a crown, nor Skunk, nor Porcupine. You were right, it was a porcupine. The animals agreed these gifts were really rather fine. For two more days, Mouse felt quite ill. She huddled in her shawl. "But what if Bear forgets my turn? He might. I'm rather small." But while she fretted, Bunny found a basket like a bed. Then Mrs. Bear cried, "Ooh, a scarf," and wrapped it round her head. And look, Mouse is still in bed. Oh, cozy.
Bed and head's mine.
At last, Mouse poked her nose outside. "Perhaps it's my turn now." But number 19 went to Owl. "I've got some lanterns. Wow." The next day, Bear chose Deer, who found a holly wreath. Hurrah! Then Fox cubs 1, 2, 3 found hats and scampered off to play. The foxes. Anyway, how were we getting on? When finally the last day came, Mouse hoped it with all her might. "It surely must be my turn now. There's only one more night." Mouse sat and waited all day long as footsteps passed her house. She sobbed, "They've all forgotten me." But then a voice called, "Mouse!" Let's see what happens now. She crept out of her burrow where the moon was glowing bright. A beaming Bear said merrily, "It's Christmas Eve tonight." He handed Mouse a wrapped up box. "Just open this and see." Then Mouse pulled out a shining star. Bear smiled, "Now come with me." He led Mouse through the frosty trees, a twinkle in his eye. You won't see this, but the mouse is sitting on top of the big bear's head, so it gets well seen then. "Your friends have not forgotten you," he said. "Here's my surprise. We've made our own nativity with gifts for everyone. Your shining star's the final touch. It's time for Christmas fun." And look at that. We've got a beautiful nativity set set out there. So all the different people look. Kings, and we've got shepherds, and we've got all sorts of things. Anyway, oh my goodness me. Is that a nice prize? That everybody came together?
Yeah, I was a shepherd in school show.
Were you a shepherd in the school show? Okay. Maybe Carol's got a part for you lined up for next week as well. This is really good that you're all here today, because I think Carol and Andrew are going to put you through your paces. Because it's important at Christmas time that we all come together. And just like that story, everybody had a wee part to play. And that's going to happen next week because we're all going to have a part to play in our service. And that goes for all of you as well. There's no one excluded from next week's service. We're all going to have a super time together as we celebrate the birth of Jesus. Is that a good thing, Abby? Yes. Are you looking forward to it? Yes. That's excellent, excellent. Right, well, before I forget, behind me hiding here, I've got some gifts to give to some people who... And these were... Remember I showed everybody the Christmas cards? Yeah. And we had the lovely Christmas cards that Felicity, Isla and Annie made for us. Well, I've got some Christmas cards to give you because you didn't get them last week, did you? You got your ones last week. Okay, but you didn't get your book then. That's what you didn't get. Okay, so there's your book. That's your prize for taking part. Is that okay? And we've got one here for Felicity as well. And Felicity, I've got some copies of your cards for you to take away as well. Okay, so I hope you haven't written all your cards. Or maybe Mummy will find a use for those ones if you have already written your cards. Well, that's true. That's true. How many of us, hands up, would maybe write a few Christmas cards that we actually bought last year? Yeah, yeah, yeah. If I don't get my Christmas cards written this afternoon, then all my cards will get used again next year. But that's the plan. Anyway.
Well, I've written all my cards.
Have you written your cards?
Oh, that's... No, we have not.
You haven't?
She's lying.
She's clipping on you. Yeah? Oh, anyway. We're going to sing our little song now, a song that you're going to be singing for us next week. So this is a wee rehearsal, and everybody's going to join in together, and we're going to sing Away in a Manger. How many of you know the words for Away in a Manger? Do you know the words? We could just sit here and sing it. That'll be a nice little practice. Right, we'll sit here and sing it, and everybody's going to join in as we all sing together. Away in a Manger, which is number 312 in your hymn books, if you need the words.
The first reading this morning is taken from the book of Isaiah, chapter 35, starting at verse 10. And that's to be found on 396 of the Pew Bible. Isaiah, chapter 35, starting at verse 1. The desert will rejoice, and flowers will bloom in the wilderness. The desert will sing and shout for joy. It will be as beautiful as the Lebanon mountains, and as fertile as the fields of Carmel and Sharon. Everyone will see the Lord's splendor, see his greatness and power. Give strength to hands that are tired and to knees that tremble with weakness. Tell everyone who is discouraged, be strong and don't be afraid. God is coming to your rescue, coming to punish your enemies. The blind will be able to see, and the deaf will hear. The lame will leap and dance, and those who cannot speak will shout for joy. Streams of water will flow through the desert. The burning sand will become a lake, and dry land will be filled with springs. Where jackals used to live, marsh grass and reeds will grow. There will be a highway there called the Road of Holiness. No sinner will ever travel that road. No fools will mislead those who follow it. No lions will be there. No fierce animals that will pass that way. Those whom the Lord has rescued will travel home by that road. They will reach Jerusalem with gladness, singing and shouting for joy. They will be happy forever, forever free from sorrow and grief. The New Testament reading is taken from the Gospel according to St. Luke at chapter 1, reading at verse 46. And that's found on page 74 of the Pew Bible. Luke chapter 1, reading from verse 46. Mary's song of praise. Mary said, "My heart praises the Lord. My soul is glad because of God my Saviour, for he has remembered me, his lowly servant. From now on, all people will call me happy because of the great things the mighty God has done for me. His name is holy. From one generation to another, he shows mercy to those who honour him. He has stretched out his mighty arm and scattered the proud with all their plans. He has brought down mighty kings from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away with empty hands. He has kept the promise he made to our ancestors and has come to the help of his servant Israel. He has remembered to show mercy to Abraham and to all his descendants forever."
Thank you, Pete. I want to share with you now, before we sing our next carol, a reading that someone shared on the internet last night, and when I read it, I thought it fitted beautifully with having just heard Mary's Magnificat, so I want to just share this little monologue with you. I was grinding flour when the exhaustion hit me. I followed Elizabeth's advice and went to take a nap, responding to the needs of my body. As I rested, I thought about how I lost my patience much too easily, and I constantly swallowed my tears. It didn't matter whether someone said something cruel or something generous. I wanted to cry either way. Besides that, my breasts were swollen and painful. I wasn't able to sleep on my stomach any longer. Cramps seemed to come out of nowhere. Headaches overwhelmed me, and they gave way to the persistent need to vomit. Then an undeniable scent of orange blossoms and fruit wafted into my room. I opened my eyes and saw that nothing had changed. I wondered about that smell until I realized it was divine. Holding life inside of me filled me with gratitude. Just as my sense of smell had gotten stronger, my belly had swollen, my face had become rounder, and my emotions had become sharper. So too my soul had enlarged, and that skin-prickling sense of God kept magnifying. Another generation was growing inside of me. In my gut I held solid evidence that I belonged in some sense to that child. Everything that I was and everything I did would affect not only me but those who followed me. Each step that I took would not only be for me, but also for my children. And the strange thing was, this did not diminish me. I had imagined that it would. I thought that loving a child so much would be like servitude, that it would make me less human, would make me ebb in some core sense. But it hadn't. Giving out love didn't make me weaker, but stronger. Love didn't deplete me, it replenished me. I was blessed to love and be loved. There I was with that child growing in my belly, and even though he couldn't speak, he couldn't perform, he couldn't prove himself in any shape or form, I felt love. Whether it was my own or an overpowering emotion somehow coming from him, I don't know. All I knew was that one day I was a slave and the next day I felt awash with a powerful sense of being blessed. I'd not even given birth to him, and yet he'd already given me an abundant life. Those to come would call me blessed. They would look back on my days and see them as sacred. The messenger Gabriel had said it. Elizabeth said it. And now I was beginning to know it in my bones. Let's stand and sing hymn 285, "The Angel Gabriel from Heaven Came." Ten days till Christmas, and the prophet cries, "Water in the wilderness, blossoming land, springs for the thirsty ground, pools for burning sand." 10 days till Christmas, and the prophet cries, "Dry lands rejoicing, the desert flowers, beautiful as fertile fields, see God's power." 10 days till Christmas, and the prophet cries, "A path for God's people, no going astray, all dangers and sadness chased away." 10 days till Christmas, and the prophet cries, "Courage for the fearful, strength for the weak, the blind, the deaf, the mute will see and hear and speak." 10 days till Christmas, and the prophet cries, "Return, rescued people, come to God in song, in everlasting joy, stay where you belong." In the days post-general election. There will be people joyful at the result and others worried about the desert they fear they may be entering. Politics can be brutal, as many discovered in the wee small hours of Friday morning. Having been in the privileged position of offering support to a sitting MP who subsequently lost their seat at a previous election, someone of a different party to my own of choice, I should add, I have seen firsthand how devastating losing can be. There is no joy in watching and witnessing that. I hope that in our prayers we can spare a thought for all former MPs, their staff, and families who face Christmas with uncertainty. There will be little joy for them. Joy, our Advent word for today. And as our joy candle burns brightly along with the other two, we can look to our Bible readings for a sense of joy. Christmas is just 10 days away. Over the weeks of Advent, we have been dipping into the rich resource that is the book of Isaiah. And we've heard of words of hope and peace. We have journeyed through Advent with the voice of an ancient prophet guiding our way. And we continue that journey today with the added interjection of the voice of a young girl full of joy at the baby that is growing inside her. The words of Isaiah and the words of the Magnificat stand proudly side by side, a perfect match, and both speak of a time when all will be well. As we've journeyed through Advent, the words of Isaiah have reminded us that long before Mary felt the baby Jesus kick within her, that his birth was foretold. Isaiah's words have pointed to this moment. And it's been good not to rush in and head straight for the crib, but to hold back and wonder again at the promises of the prophets who foresaw things that they would never witness for themselves. The prophets gave the world the signposts to what was to come. Signposts and directions are an important part of any journey. Without them, we can get lost. And you might think that once we know the way, we can do the same journey again without them. But there's the danger that we risk when we head straight for the crib at the beginning of December and we get sucked into the Christmas vacuum that the world seems to think needs to take over our lives from October onwards. And the risk is that when we do that, we miss out so much of the view on the way. It's like taking the scenic route, but keeping our heads buried in a book and missing out. The period of Advent is our scenic route. And like most journeys made by the scenic route, it should be taken at a leisurely pace, not rushed, or worse still, missed altogether. Isaiah, in our reading this morning, talks of a time when everything will be put right, when the weak will be strong, the blind will be able to see, and the deaf will hear. The lame will leap and dance, and those who cannot speak will shout for joy. This is a vision of a world where all is made whole. People and the desert will all be filled with life. And not just that the route that they travel will be a safe one, but that it will be a holy highway. A highway we can travel safe from sin and attack. A highway that, like our pathway, leads to wholeness. This holy highway is a road we travel accompanied by God. He does not leave our side. He provides the protection and is the road we can all travel, because on this road we are all made whole. And this holy highway leads to Jerusalem. They will reach Jerusalem with gladness, singing and shouting for joy. They will be happy forever, forever free from sorrow and grief. In Advent, we look forward to the coming of God incarnate, God coming into the world as one of us. And he comes, a tiny baby, born into a human family, a baby that brings so much promise, a promise of a new world where all are whole. Alan Bemin puts it like this. He wrote, "We have been talking about Advent as a time of looking forward. In Advent, we're looking forward to something better than the injustice and violence and suffering all around us. We're looking forward to someone better who will set things right for everybody. We're looking forward to the kindness and generosity and compassion of our God being fulfilled for all the peoples of the world. It is not folly to look forward to God's new world, God's something better. Looking forward to peace on earth and mercy mild is the heart and soul of our faith. Our faith still rests on the good news that in Jesus Christ, that God has entered this world definitively to set everything right and make all things new. That in Jesus the Christ, God has come into this world and has become Emmanuel, God with us. And that in and through this marvelous event, light and life to all he brings, this hope, this faith, is what gives us energy to sustain our love as we seek to contribute to God's something better by transforming our corner of the world. We look forward during Advent. We don't look back. We step onto our paths. We seek out this holy highway. We seek out the way to the crib. And as the weeks go by and our paths change, we keep on heading in the right direction and we reach the crib. And it's not far away now. It's almost in sight. Mary's song, The Magnificat, is so full of hope and promise. It truly is a joyful song. And it's known as the Magnificat because in the Latin version, Magnificat is the first word. It's not complicated. But it's a great title for a beautiful song. And how wonderful it is that our biggest tree here is decorated with the Magnificat in mind. Mary sings her song of joy about what God has done and will do in the world. It's a song that sings a repeated pattern from the song of Hannah in the days before King David, 1,000 years before Christ, to the song of the psalmist. We hear again and again that God's work in this world consists of setting things right. And Mary sings her song of joy because she sees the birth of her son as the beginning of the fulfillment of the hope that people like her had been singing about for generations. Turning again to Alan Bemin, he reflects on this, saying these words, "That's why we celebrate Advent and Christmas. It is a time for us to focus our attention on God's work in this broken world. It is a time for looking for the salvation that God has promised, and a time of singing for joy over what God is already doing among us. It is a time to celebrate the work of restoration God is carrying out in the human family, the whole human family. And it is a time for us to join in that work. In Advent, we sing because we look forward to something better than the violence and suffering and injustice all around us. We look forward to the kindness and generosity and compassion of our God being fulfilled for all the peoples of the world. We look forward in Advent. We look forward and we sing songs of hope that enables us to look past our fears and our hurts and our suspicions and view those around us with God's compassionate love. This joyful faith is what gives us energy to sustain our love as we join in God's work of transforming all creation by making a difference in our corner of the world." I love that last sentence. This joyful faith is what gives us energy to sustain our love as we join in God's work of transforming all creation by making a difference in our corner of the world. Mary's joyful faith that all will be well is a model for each of us to follow, Despite our fears and anxieties, God promises joy. Despite our loss and grief, God promises joy. Despite our neediness and lack of resources, God promises joy. Despite ourselves, God promises joy. In the arid places, water will gurgle up. In the barren places, life will sprout. Frozen wastes of hearts and lives will be lovingly thawed and nurtured and infused by joy. We cannot stop it. God infiltrates our best efforts and our worst and causes joy to bubble up in the hopeless places. However unlikely it may seem, be prepared to experience this promised joy. Amen. We continue to worship, this time in our offering. Let us pray. Here is our promise to you, O God, our promise of love in this gift, to give ourselves over and over to the reshaping and the redemption of this world. May what we lay here be gifts for the kingdom that transform into justice and grace and peace. Amen. Continue in our singing. This time we sing hymn 291, When Out of Poverty Is Born.
Thank you.
turn to God again in our prayers for the world. Let us pray. Loving God, in this Advent may we live in the promise of a desert coming into bloom, where the dry land of our politics regrows a politics of hope that speaks into the lives of the least, that deserts of hopelessness and powerlessness are broken open in a field of new life, of community that seeks the best for one another. So may the weakest of hands find new strength, those on their knees a new confidence, those who fear for life a new empowerment, to live more strongly, to live without fear and seek a world and a community that makes it a possibility. So may we live compassionately, believing the eyes of the blind shall be opened and speak justly to the ears of the deaf that they may hear and the lame leap with new hope in life and those who have been silenced speak non-stop about justice so that waters of peace pour into the driest lands and the heat of the world cools in a new way of living together. May we seek to build a highway that moves us and leads us from conflict to peace, from selfishness to compassion for one another, from power to sharing. And we pray for those who lead our nation, that within a new parliament ways of working together can be found, words of kindness can be used, and that your vision of a world where the vulnerable are cared for can be lived out. And we pray for those politicians, their staff and families who find themselves in a different place this Advent and Christmas. Whatever their fears, Lord, let them know your peace and hope so that even in the bleakest of the days, they can find some joy. May we walk their Advent journey with them, be companions along it, and in this journey together find you here, one of us. Among us, Emmanuel. Amen. Our closing carol this morning is 294, On Christmas Night, All Christians Sing, hymn 294. We go in hope, for it is the dominant story still. People of the Incarnation, with a word of truth, companions of God, through the pathways of the world, peacemakers and travellers in the kingdom of love. and we go, God with us, always.